the pasuk says Miriam and Aaron spoke about Moshe, and they said, did Hashem only speak to Moshe? Hashem also spoke to us. Vayishma Hashem, Hashem heard. Rav Chalap says we could say that Miriam's intention when she spoke about Moshe was so that people would not think that Moshe was a god. Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem alo gam banu diber. Miriam was saying Hashem speaks to Moshe like he speaks to us, and whatever Moshe does is from Hashem. Her stress was Moshe is not a god. Moshe is doing what Hashem says just like we do what Hashem says. And that's why the pasuk later on says, Va'ish Moshe anav me'od, that Moshe was so humble that no one would have thought that Moshe was a god. Moshe carried himself in a way that everyone knew that whatever he was doing stemmed from Hashem. And that's why Hashem says, Lochen avdi Moshe. Hashem keeps stressing, my servant Moshe is not like any other prophet. Umadua lo yiretem ledaber be'avdi v'moshe. Hashem a second time stresses, why weren't you scared of talking about my servant Moshe? Moshe is on a very, very high level. But Moshe always knows to carry himself as an Eved, as the servant of Hashem. And it's impossible that such a mistake would happen, says Rav Chalap. It's interesting that Rav Chalap raises this because I think it's the Kli Chemda that writes, I'm pretty sure it's the Kli Chemda, not 100% sure, but I think it's the Kli Chemda that writes that Moshe Rabbeinu could not enter the land of Israel because then the Torah would not be separate from Moshe. It would always be viewed as Moshe's Torah. In order for it to be our Torah that Moshe gave us, Moshe had to die on the other side of the Yarden. So Rav Chalap over here says a similar idea. He says that there was this concern. Miriam's concern was, if Moshe is not living with his wife, so he's not human. So now people are going to say he's a god. Moshe's doing everything from Hashem. We could take this one step further. When the Kuzari describes the hierarchy of the planet, the Kuzari describes domem, inanimate, tzomeach, grows, chai, living, midaber, speaking, right? So you go from an animal to a human, Yehudi, a Jew, he puts him on a separate class, and then Navi, a prophet, and Moshe. So Moshe is on a different plane. He's like, the Kuzri says, where do you have a human being who could live 40 days without eating or drinking? So Moshe Rabbeinu is doing something that's not human. We discussed in the past what Rav Sadia Gaon writes, that anyone who heard Moshe, it was like he heard an angel, and he had a status of a prophet. Just listening to Moshe made you like a prophet, if you actually got to talk to Moshe. Now that's a unique opinion of Rav Sadia Gaon. Nonetheless, these two opinions of Rabbi Yehuda Halevi and of Sadia Gaon are not far from the concern of Chalap is portraying here. Moshe has to remain human. He's still a prophet. He's not God. So that's what Miriam's concern was. And Hashem says, in stressing how he's like you, you did not realize that he's not like you. I would suggest Rav Chalap is insinuating, this is my suggestion, that Hashem's rebuke was, he's more humble than you. He's more humble than you, and with him such a mistake couldn't happen. Because he's more humble, you overlooked his humility. So we're accustomed to the rebuke being, you undermined his prophecy. You didn't understand how great he was that he had to separate from his wife. Rav Chalap is stressing the opposite side of the coin. You didn't appreciate his greatness and his humility, and that's why you could entertain a thought that someone could mistaken him for a god. It's a completely opposite stress. Again, ordinarily we read the pasuk to say, Moshe is not a prophet like the rest of you. You had no right to talk about him in that way. He was correct in separating from his wife. because his prophecy is on a much higher level than yours. That's the classic interpretation. Rav Chalap is saying the other way around. It's not that you undermined his greatness and prophecy, that you appreciate it. You didn't appreciate his humility, how much he puts himself down, and because he is different than you, he is much more humble than you are, Aaron and Miriam. That's why with him such a mistake can't happen. I didn't want to spell that out. That's the insinuation. I agree. I didn't want to say that. They didn't appreciate that when a person, taking the example of Avot Rabbi Natan, is so humble that if you see someone that's covered with a disease that you're scared is contagious, you run away from them. If a person walks around society and everyone runs away from them, they start feeling really down. They start feeling very lowly if no one wants to talk to them because they're contagious. If a person lives their life that way, then they're going to have a real problem in their personality because everyone tries to stay away from them, they're going to feel down. The Medrash says, if you take 15 levels of that, the lowest level, the worst type of disease, what the Medrash calls boils, shchin, that type of person, Moshe was more humble than him. So we discussed last night that this is indicating something different than the humility we're accustomed to. We think of humility as being honesty. I know that what I have is from God, so I'm not going to be arrogant about it. This is a humility where a person feels like, I'm just not worthy. It's a humility of a person who can be the leader of Israel. His older brother and sister can call him my master. He's looked up to by everyone, and when he walks around, he doesn't feel worthy. It's like the Mukesh Shechin. It's a totally different perspective on his humility.
So then how is it that that Miriam and Aaron didn't appreciate that? I'm trying to understand for Rav Chalap's twist on everything.
We're talking about his humility, not his prophecy. Rav Chalap's point is they did not appreciate how extraordinarily humble he was to the point where no one could make that mistake to think he was a god. You don't look at someone who, whenever anything happens, he's like, he's not assuming that he has a right to anything. You don't look at him as someone who people might think is a god. Remember that Moshe is stuttering. He can't express himself in a way that's so respectable.
So then how could... If God's saying that no one else can make that mistake, how could they say some of the greatest prophets of the Jewish people could make that mistake? I'm saying they had a concern that this would he had a worry that they would be that Moshe would be kind of considered a god by everybody. But they were saying that they themselves would not make that mistake?
They for sure would not make that mistake. They knew Moshe wasn't a god.
So it wasn't that they didn't understand the people well enough, that they didn't understand Moshe well enough.
Right. When I insinuated that they were not like Moshe, what I meant was they didn't have his humility, meaning they projected onto him what would have happened had they gotten his level of prophecy. But that already, I'm adding that it doesn't say enough.
And then that has nothing to do with his humility. That just has to do with his capability of receiving prophecy, which is what the classical example of the interpretation. I don't understand the fetus when it comes to, when it comes to Miriam and Aaron not appreciating level of humility, meaning I want to know what exactly did they do wrong that Rav Chalap is saying that it indicates that they didn't recognize Moshe's level of humility. There's something that's
And you can explain that level of humility a little further, because when Hashem says at the end of the Torah, there'll never be another like Moshe, to say, to feel that I'm not worthy of this, I can't do the job, I'm not, I don't, what does that mean? I mean, you know, because maybe if I don't understand Moshe's level of humility, it's hard for me to understand what they didn't understand about his level of humility. Because the classic definition that you had, you say that doesn't count yet, the one which says, you know, everything's a gift from Hashem, and I shouldn't feel any, you know, better about it than if I was able to pick up a car. You know, it's a gift. I was given. I look better than the next guy. So I say, I'm better because I brush my teeth. I mean, this is, and therefore, it's a gift from Hashem. But you say this level of humility is what we would say is without understanding, is the terrible sense of no self-esteem.
Right.
So I don't, you know, that's not a good thing. Yet what we, you know, I'm going to propose to you is supposed to be a good thing. So I don't, maybe that would help.
Could it be that he just wasn't humble in the sense that he got lowly of himself, so to speak, but he just possessed, it's like humility doesn't necessarily have to do with like thinking low of yourself, it's just understanding accurately where you are. So could it just be that he had such an awareness of how low he is compared to God that that is why he acted lowlier than even the people with boils, so to speak?
Okay, so I'll explain that. I skipped on steps, and you guys are right. What I was suggesting, it doesn't say in Rav Chalap. I was combining two other sources. We all know that humility is usually described as, I have an accurate picture of who I am, I know what's from Hashem, I don't take credit for it, and as such, sheer honesty, a person is humble. That's one approach we're familiar with. There's a commentary of Rav Chaim of Volozhin on Pirkei Avot where he brings up a different type of humility. And that's something which will not resonate with you, and I understand if you're not open to hearing it, but it's something different than what we just said. And that is a humility where a person, like you said, does not have the self-esteem. We view that from our Western culture perspective as something unhealthy, something not good. But that's not so obvious. Meaning, we like to think that a humble person knows what he's worth, but isn't arrogant about it. Knows what he can do, but doesn't take credit for it. Rav Chaim Yivilajan, and this is what's written in his commentary on Pirkei Avot, he writes that no, that humility is that he does not know what he's worth. Humility is that he does not see himself as being worthy of it. It's not just, I know what I'm worth, but it's not my credit, it's not me. No, I don't know what I'm worth. That's, just let's hear it out. So I connected that Rav Chaim Yivilajan with the Avos de Rabbi Nassan. In Avos de Rabbi Nassan, there's a whole segment that discusses Moshe's humility. And there it says, Moshe was more humble than the worst level. It says there are many different types of people with boils. The worst level, Moshe was more humble than that. So what I was insinuating was that maybe Rav Chaim Yivilajan got his interpretation from that in Avot Rabbi Natan. That over there you see something that's very different. It's not the humility we're familiar with. When you look at a person that has boils, you don't think he's humble. You think he doesn't have self-esteem. You think he doesn't have self-worth. You think he doesn't feel connected to society. You think a lot of things about him. You don't think that's humility. You think that's what we might call in Hebrew shaflut. He is put down. He has a broken spirit. He is a lowly person. His personality is down. That's what you think. And using those two sources, I was suggesting that perhaps the commentary of Rav Chalap was drawing on that perspective of humility, not the humility we're familiar with. And if that's so then I can even spice it up a little bit. I've had times in my life where I was in very close contact with people that had certain very serious disabilities. And because I was in close contact with them, I didn't even see it. It can be very understood that Aaron and Miriam don't see Moshe's disability. They don't see Moshe's humility. They don't see that part of him. They see the greatness in prophecy, and suddenly they discover that he is doing something that no other prophet has done. He is suddenly not with a wife. So they're saying, they're going to make him into a saint. They're going to make him into an angel. They're going to say that he's a god. And Hashem says, if you would have an appreciation for how Moshe interacts with everyone, you don't see it. I'm suggesting because they're his siblings, but that's not written in Rav Chalav. Hashem is saying, if you would see how when Moshe interacts with people, he is so lowly in the interaction, and that's where I drew from Rav Chaim Mivolozhin and Avos Rabbi Nassan, that maybe then the meaning of humility here is not what we think humility is. Rather, it's a conversation where I don't feel deserving, I don't have self-worth. So then, if you would see that, you would see that there's no way anyone's going to say that about Moshe. Again, Rav Chalap is stressing the humility, and I drew from these two other sources to suggest that's why Rav Chalap interprets it this way. But again, a lot of this is my interpretation. It doesn't say it in Rav Chalap. Yes?
Why was Moshe's wife basically destined to live this weird life where she just has no husband and she's stuck with him?
It's a good question. We have to discuss it Thursday night. We didn't get to it last night. It's a very good question. Could we discuss it next Thursday? Just hold on to it. Don't forget it. Okay. We're